Sarah Borufka has been talking to a father and son about life before 1989 and after it.
My guests in the studio today are a father and son of the same name. Peter Cibulka Sr. was born in Opava and moved to Prague in August of 1989, less than 3 months before the Velvet Revolution broke out. He now owns a hotel in Legnice, Moravia. His son, Peter Cibulka Jr., belongs to the generation which was barely touched by the communist regime. He moved to Prague at the age of 15, later went for a study stay in the U.S., and now works as a researcher at the English-language newspaper The Prague Post. They joined me in the studio to talk about how the revolution changed their lives. Welcome in the studio, Peter Cibulka Sr., Peter Cibulka Jr.
Hello.
So, describe your life before 1989.
When I look with today view at our life before 89, I have one motto. It's Horas non numero, nisi serenas, is Latin motto, which means I don't count hours, only the good ones. Yeah. Nonetheless, I graduated from high school in past. Yeah. I'm starting in border area in the most deprived area in the Czech Republic. Then I played hockey, then love came, and very soon the first child. Here we are. And existential worries. Too soon. I'm working in heavy industry, then divorce, then I work in restaurant, then I moved to Prague in August 89, and I'm used to live here in Rimska 12, so I saw everything's directly from my window here.
Okay, what about you, Peter? You must have been very young.
Well, I was 4 years old, so I don't remember anything, and I haven't even recognized that anything changed, because it was gradual and I was basically too young to remember.
Mr. Cibulka, how about you? When those historic events were happening in front of your door, how was that?
Yeah, I was in North Moravia when 17th November was. Then I ran up to Prague. I remember that it started in August. Yeah, it was almost every day in St. Václav Square. Every day was something there because I'm working in Ulice Prikopy, and every day I moved to work and back. And every day it something happened there. So the Velvet Revolution was only the final target of that, I think so.
And then after the Velvet Revolution happened, how did your life change?
It was really, for me, a difficult time. Yeah, for everybody, I think, because the change was absolutely change, everything.
What would you say was the biggest thing in your everyday life that changed?
It was about self-responsibility, yeah. If you today you are self-responsible for your life, you have to working on it, and in this time you don't know nothing. We didn't have dreams, yeah. As when I was young, 20, 22 years, I can believe what I will be doing within 20, 30 years ahead, yeah. Now I can planning, I can do something because it's much clearer now, yeah. In this time we dreamed about the cosmos and stars, about Alaska and Canada. Something what is just you can imagine, it was so far, so yeah.
So Peter, since you can't really remember what happened before 1989, can you imagine what it must have been like to live under such a regime like your father did?
Well, I can imagine that it must have been pretty tough, because there were no freedoms of expression, no freedoms of choice of democratic people and the direction of the country that it can take. Because right now you have the choice, you can do with your life whatever you want, you are responsible for yourself, you have the free choice of pursuing your will and your own goals, and that's what you didn't have at that time.
Did you ask your father what happened, what it was like?
We're talking about the humor in communism, yeah, because we just, sorry that I answering instead you, yeah, but we're talking about the humor things in communism, yeah.
Can you give me an example?
Oh, yeah, well, I have one example. In past, when I was so young in the school, I was in seventh class, we have some celebrating the opening the modern plastic in the park in Opava. It was cube, looked like a modern national tree Lipa, and all the school stayed around, and it was pioneers there, if you know, it was like a small communist army in blue skirt and a red scarf on the neck, and they showed the people the modern plastic. And teacher and director of the school asking the kids, the children, do you know what is it? And they expecting that somebody will say, this is Czech National Tree Lipa. And my friend, because he was very popular in the school, he said, I know exactly what is it. What is it? No, tell us. And he said, it is Lenin's brain. Yeah. And everybody laughing. So it was small islands of positive deviation in this past. So as I said, that human brain wants to remember only good things. That's maybe positive view on that. So maybe Peter remember when he was small in the kindergarten, when Chernobyl was, that maybe he can tell you.
Yeah, when the Chernobyl happened, we couldn't play on the sand because of the, you know, outside you have the sand place where you play with the toys, and you couldn't play there because of the Chernobyl disaster. And I also remember that we couldn't pick up the mushrooms in the forest because of the, you know, radioactive fall, and it was forbidden, and something bad could happen to us, and etc. And I mean, to answer your question that you had before, if we discussed what happened during communism, I mean, yeah, we have like all these jokes, but for now we try to look to the future and see, you know, how we can move forward and what are the problems today.
And Mr. Tsuboka, if I can ask you, what were your main worries under the communist regime, and nowadays what do you worry about?
When I went to Poland once with my three friends, yeah, we going to Poland, it was in 1987, we crossed the border, and they stopped us and asking us for the passport and the reason our way. We have a paper for the chess tournament. It was, of course, it was only paper. And the border officer asking, okay, how can you start the Indian defense? Well, we didn't know. Yeah. Then they look up us. They look at the car and personal checking, yeah, and they find out 1,000 Deutschmarks, German marks in my underwear. Yeah, so they lock me, yeah, of course. They asking, what are you doing with this money? And we said, no, we transfer this money to Poland. Yeah, and they invite us to police in Opala, and then the high officer. So it was the worries in my life. Yeah, and they came, they asking, what is money for, and what do you want? What are you doing with that? And then you have to be very flexible to really snake out from that, yeah, or figure it out from that. And
what today, what do you worry about?
Today, we have, of course, worries are bigger, yeah. It's difficult to say. Now it's coming something like another part of democracy, maybe some post-democracy coming, yeah, when you doing everything what you want, but your influence, personal influence, is like nothing. Yeah, you can do nothing against bad things, and I think it's maybe something changing here, because my disappointment is the failure of the media and politics in every aspect. Yeah.
So, to close, what will you do next Tuesday for the 20-year anniversary of the Velvet Revolution? Will you celebrate as a father and son?
Yeah, we have in our village statement in Lednice, we have celebrating on the
square.
On the square. Yeah, we have small podium, and some music will be there, and some remember evening in the Friday with the dancing and with some funny evening discotheque in this style. And so it will be, I think, the nice evening. Yeah, we can remember all the people who was against this unbelievable regime. Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much. In the studio with me were father and son, Peter Tsuboka Senior and Junior.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.